Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Ephesians this morning. The book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, chapter 1. We're going to read one verse from Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 3. And then I'll have you turn one page over, put your finger there, to Ephesians, chapter 2, and verse 6. Ephesians 1, 3. And then Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 3, then Ephesians 2, 6. As you're finding your place, would you please stand to your feet if you're able this morning as we read the Word of God together. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Then chapter 2, verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the opportunity we have with freedom to come and hear it preached and taught. Help us not take that for granted this morning and waste the time. Please speak to our hearts. Help us to be better Christians today. I pray for our pastor. I pray you'd anoint him with thy Holy Spirit power for this task. Use him to help us this morning. And Father, one last request. If there's somebody in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray they'd settle it before they leave today. In Christ's name, amen.
As always, we'll ask that you turn your electronic devices off, please, so they don't go off into service. Today, we would appreciate that. Did you notice the mention of heavenly places there in our two text verses? One more time, verse 3, chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You say, well, he's talking about heaven, Pastor Johnson. No, that's present tense he's using language there. Not will bless us, has blessed us, hath blessed us. Then chapter 2 and verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's also not future tense. He's talking about heavenly places right here on earth. Now, we do not believe that heaven is on earth. Okay, let's be clear about that. If this is heaven, it's a lousy heaven. I just want to say that. We don't believe that it's heaven on earth. Heaven, the heaven you and I are looking for by people of faith, well, that's a real place. It's just the other side of it, that next heartbeat, my friend. It's that close, just like that. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Oh, just like that. And you go to a real place. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go there to prepare a place for you. We know the place of heaven is two places. Revelation 21 tells us there is a new heaven and a new earth. The heaven that exists now is not the heaven that will always be. We don't know a lot about the heaven where people are today. We understand it to be a paradise and a beautiful place. But that heaven that exists now is not permanent because sin has been there. Satan goes and accuses the brethren before God day and night in that place. Rebellion has been in heaven. So that place is going to be taken away. Revelation 21 and 22 talks about the second heaven, the new one. Ah, that one is brand new. Still being worked on, I believe, almost 2,000 years later. It is that city four square, 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles deep. A wall 260 feet thick and 260 feet high that goes for 6,000 miles around that wall, made of jasper with precious stones laid at the foundation. The gates, there are 12 of them, and in proportion to those walls are 100 miles wide, each gate made of an individual pearl. As an old preacher said years ago, you should have seen the oysters. It's streets of gold, gates of pearl, walls of jasper. Yeah, that one. Now, that's the heaven that will be. So please don't misunderstand me this morning. I'm not taking heaven away from anybody. But the Bible talks about heavenly places here. Now, if you know the heaven that will be, you get an idea of what he meant here. He says there again in verse 3, he talks about this thing of spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In verse 6 of chapter 2, hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. He's talking about places on this earth, in this life, that can be very much like heaven. Or have heavenly stamp upon them. The heavenly places on this earth are the places where God's presence is. Because that's what heaven is. I'll read it to you this morning. No, I want you to turn there. Go to Revelation 21, please. Easy book to find. It's the last one. Chapter 21, almost the last chapter. Revelation 21. These two chapters describe the heaven that will be. But there's some things about the heaven that will be and the heaven that is now, by the way, that I think bear witness to what we're talking about with heaven on earth. Some heavenly places here. And one of them is the presence of God. Look at Revelation 21 and verse number 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Verse 3 of Revelation 21. And he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. You see that? Hey, in heaven, don't you anticipate seeing God when you get to heaven? I do. I anticipate seeing Jesus when I get to heaven. Won't be able to see the Holy Spirit, but I'll be able to see God the Father. I'll be able to see Jesus. That'll be real. That'll be one. Someone has said that Jesus is what makes heaven what it'll be anyhow, because we'll get to actually be in his presence. So in heaven, this place called heaven, the Bible says, God will be with us and he'll be our God and we'll be his people. There'll be nothing between us then. But wait a minute, people, look at me this morning. There is a heavenly place here that very much has the stamp of heaven on it. It's called God's presence in your life here. It won't be as good as it will be in heaven. But oh, how sweet it can be. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. You know the truth. Just busted out my singing career. Get that on the YouTube. Okay, good. The truth of the matter is, you know, his presence was there this morning. Did you know it? No, there's flesh between us and God. There's the temporal between the eternal. I know there's limitations to it. Oh, but how much like heaven it is to be in his presence and have his presence in your life. It's about as good as heaven's going to get on this earth, to be honest with you, in some respects. Do you know that? Do you know the presence of God in your life? The Bible speaks of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, we know that means that, first of all, I must have salvation. Must know Christ as my personal Savior. Once I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, the Bible says God comes to live inside of me. And I take his presence with me anywhere and everywhere that I go. And it means that when I call on his name, God hears. It says over in the Old Testament that he literally bends his ears over the battlement of glory to listen to one of his children when he speaks because he desires it. That's what God made us for originally when Adam and Eve were created in the Garden of Eden and the voice of the Lord God came to walk in the garden in the cool of the day. And every day they knew the presence of God literally in their life while on this earth. Yes, sin has changed things, and yes, there are limitations, and yes, it's not as pure and perfect as when we get to heaven, and there'll be nothing between our soul and our Savior, but when a child of God turns their face toward their heavenly Father and says, dear Father, you have personal audience with him. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The boldly of Hebrews chapter 4 is not arrogantly. It means confidently. It means because you know that you can actually enter into his presence. And he walks with you each day and every day, and you can know the presence of God in your life. I believe it is one of the greatest things that are lacking in the lives of Christians today is a literally a life that knows the hand and presence of God on a day-by-day basis. Where God is real to you. And I'm not talking about now people who come, you know, or deny the existence of God. I'm talking about people who know God. They're saved. But they seem to have no sense of his presence in their life. Now you do understand this morning that sin will affect that presence. His hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your sins have separated between you and your God. Okay, fine. I allow sin into my life. I'm going to grieve the presence of God. He's not going to leave me, but his presence will be grieved. He'll literally step back because of sin in my life. You get that right. That's why it's right to live right. You don't want to mess with the presence of God in your life. We got religiosity and we got churchianity and we got people whose God is locked up in a building somewhere. Oh, my friend, he was there this morning, very early for you. He'll be there late tonight for you. He'll be there. He walks with you. He wants his presence in your life to be real and for you to know what that means. And oh, my, when we get to heaven, the Bible says he'll be with us. And our God will be with us and we will be with him and we'll be his people and there'll be nothing between us. Let me ask you a question. Is there anything between you and God this morning? See, whatever that is, it causes you to not know the presence of God in your life. You're giving up a heavenly place. I know we live in a busy life and a busy world and we're hectic and everywhere you go nowadays, it's just this thing of cell phones is insanity. People walking through airports looking at their phone, not paying attention to where they're going. Everywhere, constantly, perpetually. I mean, you'd put an airplane on the runway and as soon as it touches the ground, people grab their cell phones and turn them on. I did yesterday four times flying in and out of Ohio. I did it yesterday. As soon as the plane touched the ground, I turned my phone on. And it seems like we have so much noise and there's such a din to our lives that there seems to be no real presence of God. But let me tell you something, people. It's not because life forces God out. It's because we don't let him in. That's why, number one, you need to know Christ as your Savior. Settle this thing. So that you're his child and he's your heavenly father. Accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You'll know the presence of God in your life. But as a child of God, don't you notice how it works? How that there comes begins to be a distance between us and our God? And the effective presence of God, his working in our life, it's just not what it ought to be. And you're missing something. You're missing a heavenly place right here on this earth. He's blessed us with spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Is the presence of God effective in your life? And do you know it? Maybe it's not sin that's caused God's presence to be distanced in your life. Maybe it's you. You've turned away from him. You just decided, you know, God didn't please me in some area. God didn't give me what I wanted. God didn't grant me every request of my life. God took something from me and you've turned your back on him. Well, I got news for you. He hasn't walked away. He's still there. That's the old song about he was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. I don't understand that part of the song, but I understand the concept of it. Some of us have just turned away from him. We've just simply decided God didn't do what I wanted, and we've turned our back on our God and walked away. You need to settle up with the Lord this morning, friend. You know that. Blessing us in heavenly places. Well, that's where his presence is. Blessing us in heavenly places. That's where his place is. In my Father's house are many mansions. Listen one more time. I go there to prepare a place for you. If you're a child of God this morning, you have a place in heaven. Now, he said many mansions. I'm not sure what your concept of a mansion is. or what you think it might be. See, I wonder if it's really actually literally a mansion, Pastor Johnson. God knows how to use the word house. He does. So if it wasn't, if in my Father's house are many houses. If he wanted to put it that way, he'd have put it that way. That's not what he used the word. He used the word mansions. We're in Brother Allen's home country yesterday, the last couple of days, out there in the countryside by Columbus, where that little school is that they play football sometimes. You know, what do you call it? The Buckeye Boys. The Ohio State. By the way, don't go there and tell them you hate Ohio State. That doesn't get you, you don't get a lot of pleasure out of those people. Will not be happy with you. I told three or four people, I hate Ohio State. And they said, we love, anyway. But we're driving around out of Columbus, and we drove out of there into the countryside, into the little town of Milford, out there about an hour and a half south of that. And there are these big houses out there in the countryside, the rolling hills, beautiful places. Now, that's kind of like a mansion, right? What's more important to you, that he's prepared you a place or what it's like? See, he goes there to prepare a place for you, child of God, because he has a place he wants you to be. Now, see, to us, whether what it looks like, frankly, really doesn't matter. What's in there isn't as important as the fact that God, listen to me, God, the God of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, prepared you a place in heaven. Now, that's good. That means he actually has my thought in mind. I don't know if they're all the same, if each one's individual, if they're different. I hope he's none of mine. There's no pink in mine. I'm not big on pink. Okay, whatever the case may be. I don't know that. I just know this. He has prepared a place for Mike Johnson to go to when it's all over and said and done in heaven. And if you're a child of God, he's prepared a place for you. Good news. A heavenly place on earth is this, the place God's prepared for you here. Now, I don't know about the dwelling, and I don't know about the roofing, and I don't know about how many bedrooms, and I don't know how many square-inch television sets it has in it. I don't know about that. I don't know about this place God has for you, but I know something, ladies and gentlemen. He has prepared a place for you in this life, and you'll never know heavenly blessings in your life like being in the place God wants you to be. Oh, now, there's a problem for some folks. Well, right now, it's a place of suffering. Then he prepared that place for you. Yeah, but sometimes there's loss, and he prepared that place for you. Rather than talk about whether or not what kind of house he's put you in, let's talk about the place God has put you. Are you okay with the place he's put you in? The situation of your life, are you okay with that? If I'm in the will of God, everything that happens to me in God's will is God's will. That means that's the place he wants me to be in. Certain airlines you fly on, Southwest is one of them. They don't have assigned seating. You check in, they give you a number, and you go stand in the line of that number, where that number is in line, and then it's open seating. You just go in and find a seat and sit down. And it never ceases to amaze me how many people go up there and try to cut in line to get in on the plane sooner. And I always think, they're not leaving without you. If it's that important, and you really have to get on before everybody else, pay the money and get on early. Other than that, just take the place you're supposed to have. But if you get on one of those airlines that has assigned seating, oh, that one's interesting, especially if somebody has your seat. And I've seen him stand in the aisle go, but I have 28B. Well, I have 28B. Well, I have 28B. I'm thinking, then take 29C and go sit down. What's the big deal? The plane's not full. The stewardess comes over, and she's got to do the Middle East-Israeli negotiations to get him to figure out which one is going to actually sit in the seat. And then they move around. I go, look, I'll give my seat if you put me in first class. How about that? That works good. No, they don't do that. You got your assigned place. You got your place. That's where you're supposed to be in your little place. Now, look at me. God has a place for you in this life. Where he has put you, are you okay with that? If you are, see, the problem is this. Got a lot of Christians who are in the place God has them, but they can't accept that. Oh, my goodness, they can't accept. I don't understand why I have to go through this in my life. Then you're having a problem. You know, when you come to yield and accept the place God has put you in life, it actually becomes a heavenly place. You ever read the life of Fanny Crosby? Over 5,000 of her poems and verses were put to music. She was blinded as a child by a mistake a doctor made. And she spent almost 90 years of her life blind. You ought to read the life of Fanny Crosby. Much better than Hillary Clinton. Much better than who the world thinks is important today. Here is a lady, listen to me. Here is a lady who lived in the late 1800s, early middle 1900s. Every president in her lifetime, when he came to Washington, to New York City, always came to see Fanny Crosby. Always. A lot of the hymns you sing that has a woman's name on it, even if it's not her name, that was Fanny Crosby. They gave her pen names. She had written so many hymns in her life. Now, that's not bad production for a person who was blind from childhood, lived into her 90s, never could see, but never had a problem with it. You know why God placed her in that situation where she lost her sight, but it didn't seem to affect her spirit, because to her it was a heavenly thing to be where God had put her. That's where God designed for her to be, that she would be blind so her mind and heart would be open to the things of God's word. And she writes all these beautiful hymns, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Next time you're looking in your hymn book, look in that top left there by the number of the hymn. The person's name on the top left wrote it. You'll see Fanny Crosby there. But again, most of the women's names, that's her. Now, why is it she could accept a place of blindness by someone else's mistake, yet be productive and useful in her life, and we can't accept the fact that we lost a job? We can't accept the fact that a reversal comes to our lives, because it's a problem with who's really God in your life. But after a while, you just come to accept the place God has for you. You don't resign yourself to it. You're not aggravated by it. You're not heartbroken by it. You accept that place God puts you, and it becomes a heavenly place, because it's His place. You know what else is a heavenly place on this earth? This is a harder one. His people. No, not really. No, His people, yes. In heaven, it's a great reunion when we get to heaven. All these folks we've seen go to heaven now these last several years, I was thinking about the other day. I think I've done over 350 funerals in 33 years. Last year, we did 3 funerals and a wedding in the same week. This lady yesterday, I was telling my class about this poor lady, young lady sitting next to me, went into shock in the plane, and they had to take her off, and all kinds of stuff happened. I can't seem to do anything normal. Have you ever figured that out? Nothing's normal about my life. She was flying out here to go to a wedding, and I was saying, well, are they going to do this? Are they going to do that? And I said, I've done over 200 weddings in these years. Done a lot of weddings, more funerals than weddings. We sent a lot of people to heaven, haven't we? Huh? Young ones. Little ones. Heaven's going to be a great reunion. You know that? We're going to see all these folks we've sent to heaven. We finally get to sit down with them, and there won't be any more goodbyes in it. And yes, we all have glorified bodies, and everyone will be different. There'll be no sinful natures that cause all the drama issues that people have in this life. You say, well, then, Pastor Johnson, how can it be a heavenly place with people, God's people on this earth, when we got all these problems between us? Well, the Bible says, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. It can be a heavenly place with God's people if you're okay with it. See, our problem, look at me, our problem today is we've got way too much drama in our lives. Relationship drama. This one with that one, and that one said this one about that one, and said this about that person. Let me announce it one more time. I don't want to hear about your Facebook drama. Don't come up to me upset because somebody unfriended you in this church. Okay? No, seriously, and I'll tell you why they unfriended you. They actually got to know you personally. That's what the deal was. It was imaginary. It went better. They actually must have had a conversation with you, and they cut you off, okay? So just deal with it. I don't want to hear about Facebook drama. It's amazing to me. People getting upset with each other, and they're not even talking to one another. So I don't want to hear about it. Don't come to me with your Facebook dramas. I don't want to even know. You hear me? I don't have a Facebook page because I have a life. Can I ask you a question? Look here. No, look at me, church. Is that aisle wide enough for you? So you make sure these folks over here that you don't really care for, that's some of you. These folks over here you don't really care for over there. And these guys over there on that side don't really care about these guys over here. And look at Grandma Wallen. She doesn't like anybody. She's over there hiding in the corner. She has to have a blanket to keep her warm. She got a place she can plug it in. The next building, we're going to put a plug right in the middle of the floor, Grandma Wallen, so you can run an extension cord right out of that one. Look, people, I'm sorry that sometimes we don't get along with each other, and I'm sorry that there are personality conflicts, and I'm sorry that your kid got a chunk bit out of him in our nursery. Please feed your children before you bring them to church. I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry that your kid doesn't get a ribbon at something. I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry that it didn't go every way the one you wanted it to with everybody that you ever talked to in this church. But you look at me. I have no problems with anybody in this church. And I know stuff about you. I'm telling you, you fire me, I'm writing a book and you're in big trouble. I got junk on everybody. If that doesn't work, I'll make up stuff. What is the deal? I don't understand that. Okay, and hopefully we act like good Christian people and we resolve our issues, and if we don't, then we resolve the issue here. So there's no more problems with each other. Then it becomes like a heavenly place. Well, we go to church and we act like phonies. No, we go to church and we put it aside and just act like Christians. Not phony. You understand, dear people? God's people, it can be like a heavenly place if we're right with each other and at least right about each other. As much as life, then you live peaceably with all men. I like the fact that when we get to heaven, we don't remember anything about each other. We remember one another, but you're not going to look at someone and say, "Didn't you owe me 20 bucks? I had a lousy meal at your house one time. I just wanted you to know I was sick for a week after that." That's not going to happen. So that we have that great potential for heaven that we can look forward to. It'll be perfect then. It could still be good now. And one more thing about a heavenly place is it's a heavenly place when you're in God's plan. Sometimes do you ever wonder what we do in heaven? That's in Revelation 22, by the way. Seven times it says, "And they shall be. It mentions what we shall be or what we shall do in heaven. One of the things it states is this, "And his servants shall serve him." See, you thought heaven was hammocks. Long blonde hair, harps, sprinkles poofa dust on people, and just swinging in hammocks forever. Does that even sound interesting to you? I mean, for a short period of time, but forever? Oh, but wait a minute. See, he has a plan for us in heaven. Now, there's a more we don't know than we do know. I'm sure of that. How could he put it all in the written word of God of what he plans for us to do when we're in heaven? But he has a plan for us. We're going to be people of activity in heaven because God knows that's important to us here. It'll be important to us there. And his servants, those who want to serve him here, guess what they get as a reward in heaven? They get to serve him there. But see, that's a reward here because that's why it's a reward there. It's not a problem. This Daniel's, how long have you been in Uganda now, Brother Daniels? 22 years in the country of Africa. So now, I would assume after the first couple of years, the kind of the glory wore off just a little bit. Had malaria. You and your family. You deal with the issues of living in a country like that. Must love serving God. Must be. Oh, by the way, you say, well, that's because the missionaries. Well, you think that kicked in on one day? They just got on a plane, flew to Africa, and all of a sudden they became servants? Or maybe they were like serving God before that time. But don't you understand? Look at me. See, you don't consider it a heavenly place to be a mother or a wife or a husband or a father or a grandparent. That is heavenly. Grandparenting is heavenly. Can I get a witness on that this morning? Oh, yes. That's a heavenly thing. Why is it so heavenly? Because you get to give them up after you mess with them for a while. You give them back. You don't get to do that with your kids. You're stuck. But it's heavenly. Yeah, because that's God's plan. What's wrong with that plan? There's nothing wrong with that plan. Our problem is we resist the plan. Why should I have to? I don't think I should have to fulfill this role in my life. Quit listening to television. Read your Bible and fulfill God's role for your life because it's heavenly. This is what God put us here for. Knowing what God's plan for your life is, called God's will, and fulfilling that will. Oh, my soul, that is a heavenly thing. No, it's not always glorious and it's not always fun, but it is blessed and it's wonderful. And his plan is us live by his word, through his power, for his glory, and by his will. And there's nothing, listen to me, There is nothing in this life like knowing you're doing what God put you on this earth to do. Oh, that's heavenly. Oh, my. I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Yeah, there's high and low and bitter and sweet and all that. I understand it, but I'll take his plan over mine. Come on, you heard me say this before. Think about your life. Mistakes you've made, doing what God said or doing what you wanted. His plan's perfect. Mine's not. And there's something so heavenly about this plan. Because he's there with us, just like he'd be in heaven. He has a plan for us, and just like there will be in heaven. Now he has a plan for my life. Yes, there have been times when I've stood back when something happened and said, now, Lord, did you know this was coming? This I didn't anticipate. But that was in the plan, too. Then later on, I found out the purpose for that. Because all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You love God and live in his plan. Everything works together for his good, not yours necessarily, but it will be good in the long run, I guarantee you. Because God doesn't make mistakes, and it's a heavenly place to be right in the middle of his plan. How unheavenly to do it on your own without him. Figure out your own plan. I got my own plans. I was talking with a young person just the other day. I got everything planned out in my life. I said, I did too, until I got right with God. And then God put the plan together. Totally changed. I'm not saying you go by, live by God's will. You'll have to change everything in your life. But I'll tell you something, friend. I did have a plan. And it was mine and not his. When I gave it over to God and lived according to his will, he did change my plan. Now, I'm not telling you that he will. All I'm telling you is this. Whatever it is, I want his, not mine. I want his design, not my design. I want his will, not my will. I want his way, not my way. I want what God wants for my life, because that is a heavenly place right there in that plan that God has for us. Oh, you're missing so much. I can't promise it'll everything be everything you ever wanted. There are things in God's plan I wish I never knew. But later on, I found out the why of it. And then I say, okay, now I see how that fits into his plan. He knows best. My wife likes to sit by the window on the airplane. She likes to look out. And I say, how much can you see at 40,000 feet? Bunch of stuff going by. But she likes to look out. I like to sit in the aisle. I want to be the last one to die if it crashes. You're by the window, you're going first. You're in the front, you're going first, unless he crashes by the rear of the airplane. Be the way you're going to go. Doesn't make any difference. But to me, how many times can you look at the Midwest flying in an airplane? It's, you know, cornfields and farms and stuff. It's nice, but it's better to drive through it than to fly over it. But I found something out. There's a different perspective up there than down here. And up there, we have our Heavenly Father has a different perspective for his plan for us down here. He knows what's best. So, Pastor Johnson, I thought when you said heavenly places, you're going to start talking about how we get that mansion we're supposed to have in heaven, but get it down here. You couldn't afford the taxes. You couldn't heat it in the winter and cool it in the summertime. And who's going to mow all that grass? No, he's blessed us with spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning. Are you there this morning? Are you getting a little taste of heaven on earth? A heavenly place here. Well, it starts with this thing of salvation. Let's bow our heads for a moment, please. Heads bowed and eyes closed.